Hey everybody, it's Operation Tango Romeo, the place where healing happens. If you'd like to support this show, remember, like, comment, subscribe, and share like the sugar bear, because sharing is caring. And we're live on all the platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, etc., etc. We're even on X. Today, thank you for joining me, all you beautiful souls. I appreciate it very much. Have an interesting dude on here today. We have a mutual friend, Theo Fleury, and I can't wait to share what's going on. Jay, thanks for being here, brother.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me. Nice to meet you. This is the first time we got to meet, and I'm excited to share. And you're right, we do have a mutual friend. Actually, a couple mutual friends, because I got linked up through another mutual friend to you. So,
right.
Believe it or not, the universe is very powerful to bring people together.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. So let's talk about your events. Let's start there. And Empower to Recover. How did that come about? How did that... Because that's a big undertaking. So what was the impetus for you to say, yep, I'm going to do that?
So February 11th, 2024 will be 16 years in long-term recovery. I like to say I'm recovering from trauma because drugs and alcohol were never an issue. I just used everything around me to just run away from Jay. So I've just been really recovering from trauma. So I had the fortune to do a whole bunch of amazing things in my recovery, and that's kind of where I've met people like Theo Fleury and William Shatner, Wayne Gretzky, all these amazing people through my celebrity, through my chef life as a celebrity chef in Fort McMurray, Alberta. And in 2015, I had the fortune to do a TEDx talk. And I was like, you know, sitting there going, if someday I could somehow build with other people, lived experience speakers, lived and living, sharing their stories about trauma, mental health, addictions, recovery, and all the solutions that are out there in the world, because there's more than one way to recover. There just isn't one way. I think we could have a pretty special, magical, phenomenal platform. So I started really thinking about it in 2015. Then I kind of plugged along as a chef, got very successful as a chef. I did all kinds of things. I had the opportunity to open a restaurant here in Kenora, Ontario, which is my hometown. From there, I went to the ultimate dream of being a chef, which is opening my own processing company. It was a fish processing company called Freshwater Cuisine. And we used underutilized, undervalued, unappreciated fish because I looked at myself as underutilized, undervalued, and unappreciated. So I took my recovery life and put it into my business life and created Freshwater Cuisine. And we were very successful over 6 years, all kinds of amazing things. We created the walleye wings. We were national. We were international. We had got all kinds of awards, one in five top businesses in all of Ontario.
Holy.
But a little thing out there called COVID came along and destroyed me. I lost $2 million through that process. I lost the business. I lost all the accounts. I lost, I don't like using the word loss, education. It was a very expensive education lesson.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't want to look at it as a loss because I learned so many amazing things from it. And then it, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry, your microphone keeps hitting your shirt a little bit. It's rubbing on it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry.
In August of 2021, I had to make the tough choice to close, to finally just close.
Oh, man.
And at that point, I'm still going through it. I've been in this thing for 4 years, losing the business, losing the money, trying to sell stuff, mentally, physically, emotionally draining, lost relationships, just tough time that there was really no help for an individual like myself besides to try and build your own platform. At that point, I decided to launch my recovery program, which is called HYPE, Help Your Personal Effort, which is a 6 and a 12 week program, which I ran into a beautiful soul by the name of Sober Biz Babe, who's Brooke. And she helped me put together this program along with Robert Ware, Ashley Bocage, Sabrina, which was basically my recovery and then their input of the recovery in a 6 and a 12 week sessions via online, because I knew the importance of getting help to people, because there's these massive wait lists. You couldn't get in to see anybody. Treatment was backed up. Psychiatry, all this stuff was just backed up. It was just backed up. And then people were just dying.
So can we pause there? I'd like to explore these programs, the shorter one and the longer one. So is that like once a week?
Yeah. So what we do is it's the 6 weeks takes care of your thinking, thoughts, patterns, triggers, series of events, and boundaries. So we really focus in on that, which is the trauma, right? And it's once a week we meet you. But we also, because I was a chef, we also introduce nutritional side of things. So the importance of vitamin C, B6, B12, telomeres, all that stuff I talk about, and how to make simple, easy is for yourself at home, because believe it or not, most people don't know how to cook. So I also teach them how to cook. And then we also have an active lifestyle part where we do simple, easy stretching, yoga,
so exercises. Let's talk about the importance of diet, nutrition. And I'm going to assume gut health is in there as well?
Yeah, so gut health is directly correlated with mind health. So if your gut health is messed up, you're going to have some problems in the mind, right? So
yeah.
We really try to, it's been a battle for myself as well. So that's why I'm so passionate about that side of the world too. I mean, I was very hard on myself with food, and that's kind of, you know, where a trauma lied of killing pain as a young kid, is I just ate food because of going through, my mom and dad's divorce. So I just went right to food. And then after food came porn, right? So, I mean, usually goes food, porn, and then you just kind of go up the scale of things. The food was just one of these things. And then I just always wanted to be a chef, and I was really just really intrigued about food. What the goodness of it was, what the badness of it was, how it can energize you, how it can make you smarter, what's good, what's not good, moderation, what's not moderation, you know, all these things that most of us struggle with trauma, right? So,
well, let's look at directly at the link, just so people can understand. The mainstream doesn't even look at food. They don't look at food as medicine, which is just infuriating. But I've had on the show a couple of times the lovely, wonderful Dr. Bonnie Kaplan, who wrote a book, The Better Brain, and it's about broad-spectrum multinutrients, and her argument is that, and has the science to back it up, if you have the right nutrition in you, anxiety, depression, very, very effective at dealing with anxiety and depression. And so what are sort of the do's and the don'ts? Is there any particular foods to look out for that that are going to put somebody into a tailspin, or at least be not a great idea to eat if you're dealing with a particular symptom? So what I'm looking for is there particular foods that are linked to particular symptoms?
Well, I think sugar, like any kind of sugar, gluten's messing people up big time.
Okay.
And sugar is just kind of, sugar's like crack.
Yeah, it is.
For me anyway, and like I said, it's one of those things that I've struggled with as well. So, when I'm really grounded in life, there is no sugar in my life, and my life feels like very healthy, very good, very clean, very clear, very all those things. I don't feel sluggish, I don't feel depressed, like you said, right? Like, so most people, sit in depression. It's called preoccupied about spent time, which is past, right? And the sugar is a big one. And I also find gluten is really bad for people, like flour and stuff like that. So it really messes up the stomach, from a bloating side of things to an intestine side of things to that whole section of town down there, really gets messed up. Anyways, with me on the gluten side of things, But I mean, I think the first one is sugar. I think if you can kick sugar, you're going to be okay.
I often wonder if it is the gluten or if it's the glyphosates.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Glyphosates.
Yeah.
You know, because it's...
But gluten does affect a lot of... And you're right about the gluten. It's just... I guess the word just comes gluten right away, right? That's the first thing you think about until you do some more research.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Roundup, the glyphosates, it's been proven to come through the food. They find the glyphosates in breast milk, in urine samples of over 85% of people in North America. There's glyphosates. And that's not good. That's poison. That's some hardcore toxins there. So it would seem to me that some people can handle the poisons and filter it out better for whatever reason, and others can't. And those that can't, perhaps that's the intolerance for, you know, all the celiac disease and everything else. Maybe it's not at all gluten. Maybe it's just you're getting poisoned and can't keep up to all the poison. Because
that's a good point.
When you go to France, where Roundup's been illegal for a while, people that can't eat bread in Canada can eat bread in France. There's a lot of that. Now, I'm talking out my butt a little bit here. I'm not armed with a ton of statistics, but that's what I would suspect. I would love to have somebody that actually knows this stuff on the show to chat about it. But that's what I suspect from what I've seen.
Well, my daughter's mom, Julie, is really, really, she has her own TV show and she talks all about, she's really, really, really a health junkie. And, you know, she really knows her stuff and she can pinpoint every little thing. She knows it all. So, you know, she's really good on that side of things, what affects the body, what doesn't affect the body. But I think, too, another big one, you know, that is a miss is the amount of, like you said, chemicals. Like, we should not be getting strawberries the size of my fist, and I should not be getting chicken breast the size of my head, and I shouldn't be getting a turkey the size of my body. Like, that stuff should not be going on. And why is it that when I go put a garden in the backyard, I feel clean when I eat? Why is it when I go eat a breast of chicken from the grocery store, I don't feel so clean and sluggish, you know? Yeah. So
when you eat directly out of your personal garden in the backyard where you used manure for fertilizer, mm-hmm. I swear, Jay, I can actually feel the energy from the food. Like, yeah. it not only tastes different and better different, but like you can feel, I can feel my body get energized eating a fresh carrot out of the garden or snap peas or something like that. Like it's tastes better and I can feel the energy coming out of it, where you get something from a grocery store and it just feels like cardboard, you know, like you can sense the lack of nutrients in it sometimes.
Well, and that was the whole premise of freshwater cuisine, was how to use 100% of the raw natural resource to create more revenue. So we actually created a liquid fish fertilizer over a 2-year study with Lakehead University.
Wow.
out of Thunder Bay. And we actually really created 100% use of the raw natural resource, which got us in 2019 a Project of the Year award, which we did present the whole entire liquid fish fertilizer to the Manitoba Farmers Association, and they were all over it. I just couldn't get $1 million in funding to put up the building to start producing it. But the bones inside of the fish that have hard bones is really what creates the fast growth inside of the fertilizer. But what we tried to do, we tried to partner up with another local company that had a fair amount of waste coming from the Bruco, which is, they make their own beer, but their beer was high in sugar, right? So you need a high sugar product to create an amazing fertilizer, but I couldn't burn off all the alcohol on the booze, so it went, the liquid fish fertilizer didn't work, so I had to go to molasses. So we made the liquid fish fertilizer with molasses, but we did 100% of the raw natural resource. I created all kinds of things. We had a TV show called Lake to Plate that taught people how to do all kinds of different things, from perch, whitefish, walleye, northern pike, you name it. We were in Top Chef Thunder Bay 3 years in a row. It was a very phenomenal time, and I got to live out a dream. And but my biggest life dream is trauma, mental health, addiction recovery, and solutions. And it, you know, just being a motivational speaker from 2013 on, traveling across Canada, telling my story and getting booked everywhere, to then finally, you know, launching the program that had given me my life and others that I just didn't have in like program form. It was all in my mind. And we had helped, you know, hundreds of thousands of people across Canada over that period of time that I had just had it in my mind and people reaching out to me because I was motivationally speaking, until we brought it to the program part and we launched it on my 5,000 days, which was October 18th of 2021. And we launched it to the world. And, I knew what was going to happen. You know, we've successfully taken 62 people through the program since then, but, over 550 people did discovery calls, and a discovery call is where you're at, what you're doing, and where you want to go. Because the program hadn't yet been funded and still hasn't been funded, there's a cost behind the program. But so there's this 550 people that called that were waiting on wait lists, couldn't get counselors, couldn't see doctors, couldn't get therapists, none of this stuff. So that's when it really clued into me, like, I got to take it to the next level, which is the life dream. And in 2022, March 29th, I met Carl Heath, who's from the UK. And I said, hey, listen, I got this idea called Empower to Inspire. And it's this trauma, mental health, addiction, recovery solutions event that brings vendors from all, when we're in the city, from all different walks, from practices to individuals to products to services. And then we have it driven by lived and living experience people from all walks of life. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, from the normal person to everybody's struggling with something. And I told Brooke about it, and you know, she came back and she said, Jay, Empower to Inspire is taken, but what about Empower to Recover? What did you just say? I said, go buy that now, because like Empower to Recover encompasses everything that anybody, any human being, any animal, anything is going through, and it allows a platform to touch everyone and anyone, because either you're dealing with trauma, mental health, and addiction, you know somebody that's dealing with trauma, mental health, or addiction, or you've seen it, so it's there.
What I've been finding, Jay, too, is that not everybody recognizes it when they're looking straight at it. Whether people know it or not, everybody's affected by trauma, either directly or indirectly. Either it's in your life, and it's your own behavior that you're unaware of, or it's the behavior of others that you have to deal with. And it's just absolutely everywhere. I just did a speaking gig. I spoke on Sunday in Ottawa at Physicians for Life. So a room full of medical doctors for the most part. And all these medical doctors, they touched around the issue a little bit, but they didn't actually understand that without trauma, there is no addiction, with almost little or no exception to that. If there's addiction, there's unresolved trauma. You resolve the trauma, the addiction just goes away. It just decouples. And they didn't know that. You know that. And everybody in this space that I have on the show seems to know that. But a room full of doctors doesn't, which seems to me that a trauma-informed workplace doesn't seem very likely if all these doctors don't even know, even though they deal with it every day.
Well, and that's kind of like, that's an interesting point, right? And that's kind of how I was looking at this platform, because there's people like that, you know, these, you know, I have doctor friends and lawyer friends and police friends and ambulance and firefighters and all these certain people that have this position in life that brings fear to say that I'm dealing with something, right? So I'm dealing with this would de-minimize who I am, because I'm supposed to look like this. Well, that's just society telling you that. You actually get, the recovery is the new superpower by saying, listen, I'm dealing with this, this, and this, and can we talk about that? And that's the whole thing about the platform, is like, we're looking in the eye of disconnection and bringing connection back through love, kindness, and compassion, because the world has been just disconnected. And it was one of the biggest things that humanity's ever gone through. And now we have to figure out how to create connection, trust, love, kindness, and compassion so that we can fill up people's hearts again with love.
Tell me more. Tell me more about the connection. I'm just grinning ear to ear because we're definitely have discovered the exact same things. Tell me more about the connection and the impact of having it and or not having it, in connection with what?
So what I've noticed as we're going into our third event in our third city in our third province in under 7 months. In 2023. So BC, New Westminster, we launched May 27th. Kenora, Ontario, we did the first ever recovery day. November 18th, we're going into Calgary at the Silver Springs Golf and Country Club to kick off Alberta's battle through recovery. So what I've recognized in the first two events, gathering over 350 people, is this massive want, need, for love, kindness, and compassion, not driven by fear, but stories telling real people going through real things so that people can relate. Because a lot of people think that they're just alone right now. A lot of people are sitting at home going, I'm the only one going through this. And in actual fact, it's the whole population that's going through it. So what I've noticed by having all walks of life when it comes to speakers, so you know, two-time Grey Cup champion, Shea Emery, who's one of my best friends from the Montreal Alouettes. He opened us up in BC and he kicked us off and he talked about concussions and what that did to him and how that led into the whole thing. To Brooke, who talks about grief and losing her brother at the age of 23. And we did a tribute video of his overdose. To Daily Dad, who found his wife, you know, she committed suicide in the car, and he wrote a book about Daily Dad and how he had to bring the connection back to his daughters. To Cal at Kids Play and why Cal created Kids Play and how Kids Play is a partner with Empower to Recover Foundation, and as a police officer, why Cal built Kids Play is a phenomenal story. You know, like asking himself, am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? Team Unity and their nutritional products from a new nano mist side of things and how it absorbs into your system faster to help your anxiety and depression, and what Ted Wilson went through with his daughter at the age of 15, cutting herself and wanting to kill herself nonstop. To, at the time, me and Ashley, we were Canada's recovery couple and we were sharing all about relationships and what relationships were in recovery and outside of recovery. To Theo Fleury and his amazing story of trauma and you know what he went through with the Graham James case and how he, you know, I don't think there's anybody in the world today that talks about trauma better than Theo Fleury. He has an amazing story, and I love the guy to death. To Beatrice Love, you know, Treaty 8 First Nations, talking about the Indigenous experience. She was a semifinalist on Canada's Got Talent. To you know, that was the first event. And when I saw that first event and I saw all the vendors come in from the treatment centers to the second stage homes, to the products, to the services, to the individuals that showed up and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, to Carl Heath. Carl Heath was there too. He's out of Edmonton and he's been a part of the platform. He wrote a book called Activating Flow. So tapping techniques, stress relief, ground and pound, how important activity is, how important getting moving is. What I saw was all these people kind of just gravitate to the stage. Like they have found some kind of light, some kind of hope, some kind of faith of real people going through real things, looking for real change, that have real hope, that have real solutions, that are dealing with it head on, that aren't scared, and you know, recovery is the new superpower, and we want a piece of your pie. How do we get it? I was blown away. I got on a plane and flew to Calgary 6 days later and spoke, and I started talking about this because my vision was Canada. Like, I want a do Canada. Like, I'm a big thinker, big dreamer, you know. And a lot of people around me are just like, you're crazy. And I said, well, that's my life. And that's why I get to do all the amazing things I get to do, because I am crazy.
Yeah, there is no innovation without crazy.
Right. And fear doesn't stop me. False evidence appearing real does not stop me. So, you know, so when I was in Calgary, I was talking about it. And then all of a sudden I had like 10 meetings with people and they're like, you're doing what? What are you going to come to Calgary? And I'm like, ooh. So as I'm on the bird coming home, I'm like, I got to do recovery day in Kenora because September's recovery month. There's never, ever been a recovery day in Kenora. And we got to do this. Kenora wasn't in the fold. Calgary was only in the fold. I pushed Kenora into the fold. And it was magical. 216 people showed up. We had stakeholders show up. The MPP, Greg Rickford, for the first time, opened up about losing his brother a year and a half ago to fentanyl overdose.
Yeah,
we had so this is people that would not talk about it. We had the COA of KDSB talking about how we should have treatment options and recovery options in our backyard. People should not have to get on a plane and fly 16 hours to get help. We should have that here today to help them today. MPP Eric Malello, or MP Eric Malello, talked about recovery. And we had this beautiful, beautiful soul, this 17-year-old girl by the name of Angel Roy, who today I call her Street Angel. 15-plus months into recovery, got up on the stage and shared her story. I have never seen a young person like that get so honest, get so raw, get so real, talk about generational a trauma. Like, I get goosebumps talking about it.
Tell me about the power of listening to somebody else tell their story.
For me and for people, it's the biggest thing for any kind of recovery. Because it allows you to feel like you're not alone.
Yeah.
So if you're coming into a room and you don't know what to expect, you're going to hear your story. So we've had the great fortune to have all kinds of, I mean, we had Elder Daryl Red Sky share about his trauma and his 20 plus years into recovery and how he lost his family in a burnt fire. And, you know, we had, you know, Theo was a keynote speaker. Beatrice was there. We had Shea Gander speak. So we have all kinds of different people speaking. So you're bound to hear something that's going to go, I'm not alone. And the minute that you're not alone, you feel okay. So when you feel okay, you're going to start taking that step to ask for help. So that's when people start asking for help. And you know, that's the exciting thing about building the ARN network, which is the Alternative Recovery Network, housed by the recovery brands.
It's the same as the power of peer support groups, Jay. It puts you in a situation where there's other people going through something similar, and it makes it okay to put your hand up and go, I think I do need help. As when I, at the beginning of my recovery story, picking up that phone call, it was a 1,000-pound telephone. You know, it was the toughest phone call I ever made in my life because I had to get over pride and ego, and I had to admit that I couldn't do it on my own. That because I like to say, I got this. I got it. I can handle it. I can do it. But no, I couldn't. Wheels were coming off the bus, and I could not do it alone. And to take away the shame. So that is such a big part of it, having somebody lending courage. And that's the power of Recover Out Loud. It's what definitely one of the sayings that I use all the time, recover out loud. Cause when you do, you lend somebody else your courage, somebody else that doesn't even have the ability to admit it to themselves that they need help. Then they hear somebody that they go, well, that looks like a normal human being who's strong and put together. It doesn't sound like they're whining or crying about their situation. They're just saying it the way it is. So, and that's how you kill stigma. It's the only way that you kill stigma is to recover out loud and lend other people your courage. And if you don't have it yet, then you watch other people telling their story. And then you realize healing happens. It's not hopeless. You know, if I keep my feet moving. And so tell me about resources, like in the work that you've been doing. What works, what doesn't?
Well, the biggest one is putting on these events and getting people into a room so that they can hear stories.
Yeah.
And when they hear that, that's, you know, you're actually on a healing journey when you show up, even if you don't know it.
For sure.
So you're showing up and, you know, because the platform's so new, I mean, a lot of people have followed me, but you know, it is fairly new. People don't really know what they're showing up for, you know? So that's another exciting thing that we have on our hands right now, is that nobody really knows what they're showing up for. And then when they do show up, they're like on this, they're on this 8-hour ride of stories and healing and power and inspiration and love and kindness and, you know, pain and how did I get through that, and all these solutions. And the platform likes to connect with, so inside of the platform, we invite through our vendor booth packages, we like to have vendors there so that the platform can connect with different practices, different people, different treatment centers, second stage homes, individuals like yourself, so that when somebody reaches out from Calgary, we can say, hey, let's call up Mark and see if he has something available. It's not like, here's his phone number and here's his link, because most people don't do that. If you do it together from an RM side of things, so there's RNs, which are registered nurses, and there's this new thing that I created, which is called RMs, which is a recovery mentor. So when you come from the recovery mentor side of things, right, I'm just guiding, I'm just bringing, I'm just helping, I'm just showing, I'm just getting to your level at where you're at today, and I'm going to help you get to whatever you want to get to, and let's get there, because maybe the way you're trying right now just isn't working for you, and that's okay to say that, and it's okay to say, I want to try something new. So the platform really helps out people. So out of BC, we've pointed 5 people in different directions to, that was the first event, 5 people in 5 different directions to get help out of the BC connections that we had. And and then out of Kenora, we've helped 9 people go in different directions to get help. So in under 7 months, 14 people have been guided through the platform so far to date. As of once we sell out the one in Calgary, there's only 60 tickets left. There'll be 160 people there. There'll be over 480 people at the 3 events, taking in all of this amazing stuff that we talk about, taking part in it. Wanting to be a part of it from all different kinds of levels, because we have different levels as we're a federal non-for-profit. So you can get in and, I like to call it contributing. And if you contribute, that means that you're an impact champion, because we need to make impact in order for us to get through this trauma filled stuff that's going on. We need to make impact, and we need to do that together. So, how do you make impact? Individuals like ourselves that are living and have lived experience are going to make the impact. And that is the humanitarian work that, you know, I put forth out there, of just love, kindness, and compassion. And, you know, we have a phenomenal event set up for Calgary on November 18th at the Silver Springs. We got some phenomenal speakers. AARC, the Alberta Adolescent Recovery Center, is a silver partner with us there. And they're going to be kicking us off with a couple of their alumni. We got Misty Wind. She was in jail for half her life. We got Greg Ryder. So we also have entertainment a part of our platform. So we kind of break up the day, so it just isn't all stories, but Greg's going to be sharing his story, singing a song, sharing his story. So it kind of breaks up the day. We got Bill Ward, the change maker. So we always like to have, that flow of things in there. We got Brooke, who's going to be talking about, grief and what that is. And we give a tribute video to her brother. We got Oxford House Executive Director Earl Thiessen. He's going to be sharing all about his story, and it's an amazing story, and I'm grateful that he hopped on. And then we got Mike G. Mike G is Angel's dad. So Angel's dad has been in recovery since 2017. So it's like a father-daughter combo in recovery. It's one of the most beautiful things in the life you'll ever see, is this father-daughter combination, especially because Angel's 17. And then we got the business side of things. So I wanted to start opening up about people that had lost their businesses and on a trauma and a mental health side of things. And we got Les Evans, who was an acclaimed speaker from International at Edmonton, who lost his whole entire speaking career through COVID. And it really messed him up on a trauma mental health side. And then we got myself, who lost my $2 million business in freshwater cuisine.
The lack of empathy in people for... the lives that were destroyed by the lockdowns is just unbelievable to me. A fellow that I served with made a Facebook comment. He goes, what is all this complaining about? A minor inconvenience. A minor inconvenience. Whereas, everything that you built was destroyed. You know, a couple of $1 million is not a minor inconvenience. All the... No. all the work, all the blood, sweat, and tears, and sacrifice, and risk taking that was paying off, and to build something, to build a business, only to have it through no fault of your own, through no mistake of your own, pulled out from under you. And the isolation, I mean, just all somebody has to do is remember all the playgrounds that were taped off.
Oh yeah. My daughter was like, "Daddy, why can't we go to the playground?" You know? And I'm just like, "Sweetheart, we are going to the playground. Just go underneath the yellow tape."
You take away, you take away play from a kid. That's community. Oh, yeah. That's connection, you know? And it's not like you flip a switch. Okay. The lockdowns are over now. We're fine. Mm. No. Those connections have been broken, and you see it in my wife was a middle school principal for a good long time, and the kids were all different when they came back. They were all different, and there were different issues, and not good different, bad different. No. Yes. Behavior, socialization, societal norms, it all went out the window, and manners really went out the window, and it was a big impact, and it's an impact that's going to keep going for a while. The academic impact on kids, on their school progress. You know, there was people where their first, you know, grade one and grade two were virtual. It's like, uh-oh, you know, those are pretty foundational, or anywhere throughout middle school or primary or elementary. It's, and I don't think we're going to be able to see the full effect for a few more years until it's in the rearview mirror. But to say that it's just a minor inconvenience, oh my dear.
Yeah, that's a little, that is a little disrespectful, because, and the thing is like, you know, business people are starting to come my way now. I'm wanting to share their story about, like, you know, basically almost taking their lives and, you know, how they've lost everything, and there really isn't a outlet for them to go and say, "Hey, listen." And
all the ones that did, you know,
they're on the brink right now.
Isn't it funny how we ignored the suicide rates? Don't look, don't want to know. The suicide rates went up considerably. All of the
rates.
All the healthcare practitioners I talked to, mental health issues spiked hard. Because what people don't understand is that poor mental health, especially with PTSD, is an injury of disconnection. It disconnects you from yourself, from others, from relationships, from nature, from activities that you used to do. And that's what COVID lockdowns did for everybody. You know, it created that disconnection. You couldn't even go to the national parks. You couldn't go to Kananaskis. There were roadblocks. What type of science says you can't go for a drive in the mountains? You know, it was absolutely ridiculous. There was no, it was nothing, it had nothing to do with science. It had to do with having a boot on people's necks. And I'm hoping that our premier in Alberta here keeps her word. I think she will. And it never happens again, because people died, period. People died, and people are still recovering.
Yeah. Oh, and the recovery is going to go for a very long time. And that was a real, you know, because nobody's tried to build a trauma mental health addiction recovery solution platform to travel Canada. Nobody's ever tried that in the way that we want to. It's one of its first, one of its kind. Yes, Alberta is doing great. And I actually do have a connection with Dan Williams, and I do have a connection with your premier, and I do have a connection with David Kerr, and I do have a connection with Sheldon in Cal. So I do have a connection with these people. They know fully about us. I was at the Edmonton Legislature, and I did present the whole entire Empower to Recover platform to them, and they really loved how loud we were. I mean, we got our speakers that come out to intro music. Like, you have intro music that takes you to the stage. I mean, I guess it's gonna be in front of a golf course. Yeah, whatever the case may be, right? Or the Rocky. Or for me, it's like all I do is win, and I, you know, So we have the way I love to explain it is it's like the TEDx meets the hype. Well, I'm hype, so meets, you know, like if you're going to go to one, it'd be like a Tony Robbins, but it's on like the trauma, mental health and addiction. And it's just the full flood of stories and connection. And I got a phenomenal band out of Saskatoon. They're a rock band called Truth and Agony. These guys are beautiful. Lucien Brossette is the lead singer, and he's been in recovery from hard drugs for a couple of years, and he's starting to share his story, and they got some wicked music like Lead the Way. And you know, so we're starting to add some stuff in like that. And then obviously Theo's going to be the keynote speaker, and somewhere in here now, Mark, you're going to be speaking as well. So
sounds good.
We got a jam-packed day. It doesn't stop there. We roll into Edmonton. Here's how crazy this platform is. So February 10th, we roll into Edmonton at the Edmonton Convention Centers. February 10th is 16 years to the day that I last used drugs. The 11th is my 16 years. How does that line up with that? You know what I mean? So we're going to have my 16 year party. A recovery party in Edmonton at the convention center, and
a different kind of sweet 16.
And then we roll into Timmins, Ontario on April 13th, which ironically would have been my grandfather's 96th birthday. So I don't know where these things are happening, but that would have been my grandfather's 96th birthday. We're at the Dante Club in Timmins, Ontario. Then we're going to roll into Winnipeg, Manitoba. We're working that through. And then we're rolling back into Alberta to Red Deer. We're working that through. But then we're going into Kenora to do the second recovery day. So needless to say, the platform is doing everything that I thought it would do. It's starting to break the disconnection. And it's starting to bring massive connection, where it can't be stopped in a way that stories are going to heal the world. And it's your daily dose of recovery without big pharma. And, I'm massively proud and honored that, I get to talk to individuals all across this beautiful country of Canada that have been affected in so many different ways. Not just from the last 3.5 years of something that we never asked for, but even before then, that they're so inclined to open up and share where they're at, what they're doing, and how they got the inspiration. You know, I had a girl reach out from Yukon, the White Horse in Yukon, and Yellowknife want us to take an event there. And, you know, she went to treatment on the day of our first event. May 27th, the first person she followed was me. She followed us right up to the first day. When I was talking to her, she was like, I got 143 days. And I'm like, wait a second. I was like, what's your day? She's like, May 27th. She's like, I got to tell you something. I followed you all the way. You're the first guy I followed. You gave me the inspiration. I had my last drink on May 27th and I went into treatment when you launched your first event.
Wow.
Never met the person in my life.
Yeah.
She is such a beautiful soul. She is doing some amazing things. And these are these stories that we're getting.
I've seen people's lives turn around with so little encouragement. Dr. Jordan Peterson talks about that. It's shocking how little encouragement it can be sometimes. And sometimes it's just a matter of feeling seen. And feeling seen, acknowledgement, the number one human emotional need is affirmation. So if you can get that affirmation by simply hearing somebody else's story to go, oh my God, me too. And this person got through it. So maybe it's okay for me to recover as well. Maybe I can do it too. And so many of all the guests that I've had on my show, there's been example after example after example of how just a few words of kindness and encouragement is all that it took. Joe Roberts, the homeless CEO, he calls himself something like that is what he calls himself, but was sleeping under a bridge collecting pop cans so he could afford to eat or do whatever substance that he was on at the time. He's sitting on a park bench and somebody's listening to his story, and that somebody, after he was listening for a while, says, Joe, you are worth so much more than you know. You are worth so much more than you give yourself credit for. You have so much potential. I see it in you. That's all it took. And from that, he cleaned himself up, wasn't sleeping under a bridge anymore, stopped substances, and pushed a shopping, highly modified shopping cart from coast to coast across the country, raising awareness for homelessness. And has become a CEO of significant companies, you know, is doing really, really well for himself and is one hell of a keynote speaker. Just a couple of words of encouragement to tell somebody that I see you and I see more in you than you see in you.
It's exactly what changed me around was Judge Frazier. You know, he said to me, he said, I see something in you that you don't see yet today. And I don't want to send you back to jail because that's not helping you.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you one last chance. You go to treatment. We're going to cut your beeper. You're off to Ottawa. And I mean, Ottawa is a ways from, you know, I'm the last city in Ontario. So it's a ways. And I was like, that's kind of scary. But when I went back, 9 months later, you know, and my lawyer said to Jay, I don't know. Like, I mean, you got a 50-50 chance. You're going to jail. I mean, 5 times of possession of purpose and trafficking cocaine. I mean, I don't know. You know, yes, you've done well and you're doing well. You've come a long way since, you know, but, you know, there's this chance that you might just go to jail. And so I actually accepted, you know, I was going to go to jail for 5 years. And in my mind, I was like, yeah, it's three. I'll be 31. I still got a good life ahead of me, you know. And I went to jail, you know, and he said, where's Jay? And I was like, where's Jay? He's like, yeah, nice suit. Yes, sir. No, sir. You know, color, not gray and white. No, you know, not dirty, not swearing, not angry. Just like you look happy. And he said, I've never seen anybody work so hard to get their life back in 9 months. And a 5-year sentence turned into 18 months probation. And he allowed me to go back to Ottawa to fulfill my dream to be a Red Seal chef. And at that point in my life, at 9 months, I realized that if I help myself, other people are willing to help me.
Yeah.
So all I had to do was help myself. And all I had to do was hear him say, I see something in you that you don't see yet. Because I was a very successful drug dealer. I was very successful at that stuff. But if I could have took that energy that I was putting into there and put it into the right things in life, I'd be able to get everything that I wanted in life. And that Judge Frazier, God bless him, was the guy that created who you're talking to today.
That's amazing.
And he is the one that said that stuff. And ever since that day, I have always said to people, I see something in you that you don't see yet. And I believe in you. I love you. You're worth it. I know you don't know me, but you got this. And if you need me, I'm here. And that's all it takes.
When I was in Ottawa, I was doing some, not on purpose, it just kind of worked out that way, but I was doing outreach in between my speaking gig. So my speaking gig was on Sunday, but I got there Thursday night at the Delta, right across from the Parliament buildings. And the homeless people there, you know, it was significant. And when I was on, I couldn't sleep. For some reason, I can't sleep in Ottawa. Don't know what it is. But couldn't sleep, so it's like midnight, 1 o'clock, whatever it is, and I'm walking around and looking at the architecture, and I hear a great big woo-hoo of a crowd, and so it gets my attention, and then I saw this lady sleeping on a grate with the hot air coming up, so that's why she chose this grate in front of the Hilton, and I thought, well, woo-hooing drunk people, and you know, they're about to go past this homeless person. I got concerned. So I went, she was sound asleep. She had absolutely no idea that I was there, but I go and I stood sentry. Basically, I went off to the side and got a little tactical position to have a seat and just stood guard and just to make sure she was okay. And what I noticed was that the 60 or 80 people that walked past her, nobody even glanced. Like there was a couple that didn't want to trip on her, so they glanced quick, just enough to avoid her, but that was it. 60 or 80 people, and every single one of them was just all about themselves. Mm. Not one person stopped and paused and even looked to see if she was okay or still breathing. And That's the problem. Because we, and I think that it's because when there's somebody like that, I mean, they're invisible because we believe that could never be me.
Yeah.
I think that's the mentality. That could never be me. But it's not true. It can be
it's
you.
It's not true. Yeah, yeah. So
when all the people cleared off and she started to wake up, she was a lady well into her 70s, sleeping on a steel grate in front of the Hilton. And when she was waking up, I didn't have any money in my pocket at the time. So what I could do was give respect. So from a safe distance, because I didn't want to scare her, so, hey, my name is Mark. What's your name? And her answer, Jay, I'll never forget. When I asked her, what is your name? Her answer was, we don't have names.
Hmm.
And
that's powerful.
It just floored me. We don't have names. I'm just a Canadian. That's it. And anyway, I found a bank machine and I made her whole and, you know, look after her next meal or whatever. But there were so many others out there. I went to the war memorial and there was a guy screaming and yelling and ranting and raving and everything else. I'm like, well, I'm not going to let that bother me. So I just ignored him and went up to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier to have a chat, you know, which I'd visited it a few times. And then the guy came up to me and goes, I'm a veteran too. I'm like, how in the hell did you think I was like, I am an Army veteran, but he just assumed that I was because of the reverence that I was giving to the monument, I suppose, but he was right. But got in a chat with him and down in the Rideau Canal, I was going for a little stroll and there was somebody that was living there. His name was Steve. Got in a chat with him to get his story. And sometimes that's all it takes, you know, is to be treated with respect as an equal, to not be condescended to not be shit on, and just to be treated like a human being. And
to be just to be heard.
Just to be heard.
I lived in Ottawa for 4 years, so that's where I got treatment. I went to the Salvation Army on George Street, and when the cab driver let me out, I was like, "This is treatment." Like by the time I got to the homeless shelter, I'd been asked for my drug of choice like 6 times, and I'm like, "Where did they send me?" You know, but so I go into the homeless shelter. They're like, oh, yeah, it's down the street. And I'm like, okay, good. At least it's down the street. Like, you know, I'm a small town guy. Down the street means, you know, like, you know what I mean? Down the street in a city is like literally next door. The Anchorage Boost Center, Males Men Treatment Center, was next door to the homeless shelter of the Salvation Army, which that's where I stayed for 5 months. And every day I walked out, I'd watch like a movie out of my window. Of drug dealing going on, of women getting this, of everything over these 5 months of staying. Now, I know today why they sent me there, because I was looking at me everywhere I went. And so because I was looking at me everywhere I went, it wanted me to have what I had, which was trying to figure out who I am. You know, so even when I went to the frontline meetings at the Salvation Army and I had to go through the, you know, where everybody gathers, and there was an AA meeting at the back of there, I'd go there, right? Or at the Shepherds of Good Hope, you know, you'd walk and you'd see, and I'd be like, there I am, you know, and I understood, you know, maybe at the time I didn't really understand why they had me there, but, you know, it lined me up with then landing into second stage with a guy by the name of Robert Ware, who taught me a whole different way of recovery at the Liberty House that was over by Algonquin College. So, you know, he was able to teach me a different way of recovery, which really got me to understand that I'm recovering from trauma. You know, I don't have to say that I'm an alcoholic and an addict if I don't want to. I can say that I'm in recovery, and I do say I'm living a life beyond recovery. But, you know, he taught me that there is these different tools and techniques that I could use, that I could get all these different things and understand myself more from a thinking and a thoughts and a patterns, you know, like if patterns are key. If I don't understand my patterns, I'm just looping it around. You know what I mean? I got to understand patterns, and I got to understand boundaries, and where are my boundaries, and I got to understand triggers, and what are triggers? A trigger could just, anything's a trigger.
Yeah.
But you got to kind of understand it, and you got to identify it. And And, you know, it's
at that. So there were a lot of speakers at the Physicians for Life thing. It was like a 3-day thing. And one of the presentations was about addiction. And I was just, if I had hair, I would have been pulling it out because I'm like, ah, you're missing it. But they said, is it a disease or is it a choice? And this is the conversation that they're having. I'm like, neither. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
That's what's interesting though. When you get with that group of people, it's just like, you know, how, like, is it because you're not like, I mean, some are really bad into bad behaviors, right? So I like to call like using and drinking a bad behavior, right? But they just haven't come to the surface yet saying that they are because they're a doctor. So everybody looks at me differently.
Yeah.
But it's like, how is it that me, you, and all people in the world that are in recovery from trauma see this the way it's supposed to be? And why is it is. That?
Yeah.
Right. Why is it that you seem to not believe us? And why is it that when we get a bunch of people together, people start healing? And why is it that they go to you and you send them to this and you send them to that? And now all of a sudden they're in even worse shape.
And whether you think it's a disease or a choice, those which are both wrong, those are both harmful perspectives. Because it's detrimental
to your thinking.
Yeah, because it detaches you. It makes you less able to have empathy because it is one more time where it's like, it couldn't happen to me because I'd never make that choice and I'm immune from that disease. He's like, no, well, it's neither of those things. Nobody's immune from trauma. Nobody. Right?
Nobody.
And yeah, Kate, exactly. It's just being judgmental. But
I mean, you get trauma. Like the minute you are growing in your mother's stomach, there's trauma. So the minute that happens from the music, the ebbing on, whatever's going on around, there's trauma that's collecting inside of you as a person that's growing.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you come into this world and it's all light and they spank you and they wake you up. Like it's trauma. Like you just took me out of my nest. Like it's trauma.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so the trauma part starts like right away, but nobody ever wants to really point the finger that trauma is the catalyst to mental health issues. Trauma is the catalyst.
And how pervasive it is. You know, it's like you say, well, I've had a good life. How could I have trauma? It's like, well, epigenetics for starters, epigenetics can go two generations deep. So it is passed through DNA, you know?
Well, but then when they sit and talk to people and they're like, well, I don't have trauma. And then they sit and talk to you for like 35, 40 minutes. And you're like, did you just hear what you said? Like, did you hear yourself? What you just said to me, you're telling me that is not trauma. Like, did you hear yourself? I just want to know.
Yeah.
Well, I did. I said, well, did you really? Because why are you telling me you don't have trauma? That sounds like a lot of trauma you went through.
Well, even things like I'm adopted at birth, right? So, geez, I have abandonment issues. I wonder if there's a link.
same deal. I had a name change. I went from Jay Corey to Jay Barnard. My dad, you know, left me, got adopted by my mom's second husband, changed my name. Don't know any of the Barnard family. Of course. You know, I go back to school. I got this identity. Who are you? Jay Corey? You know, and back in grade 3, 84, 85, you know, you don't talk about divorce. You don't talk about those things, right? So there's this identity crisis, this who you are, this, and that's, you know, that's really where things kind of went sideways for me.
What one of the first things that you said at the beginning of our conversation, Jay, was, who is Jay? And you were running away from Jay, but you don't even know who that was, you know? And it's why I talk about on the show again and again and again about identity. And I hide it sometimes. I sneak up on people with it. Like I did a monologue on religion and politics, but really I'm talking about identity. Because who you actually are, you just are. You know, a moose doesn't wonder who he is. He's a moose. He does moose things. You just are, right? And all these societal things that are slammed down our throat that we think that our level of social status is our identity. Nope, because that could be taken away from you at any moment. You know, we think our children are our identities. Like, yeah, I get that. I love my kids too, but nope, That's not who you are. It's, I forget which song it is. We are how we treat each other and nothing more. So, well, now you're getting closer. That's a lot closer, but we just are.
Yeah.
We just are.
And when you show people that on a bigger scale,
mm-hmm.
people actually start understanding who they are. Because people like you and I and the rest of the people that are being who they are paving the way for people to be who they are, right? So that's the wonderful thing about connection, right? Is that they can come and connect and then, you know, this is who you are.
So many okay to be this. Self-esteem issues because of comparative, you know?
It's like, yeah.
Well, I should be, they should all, you know, people should all over themselves. I should do this. I should have been this. I'm only here and I should have been there. And all this shooting on ourselves, and it's all bullshit. It's all a lie, yeah. You know. It's all a lie. And
fear. It's false evidence appearing real. And the majority of individuals in life run their life by fear. And you know, Empower to Recover Foundation is showing people that there is no fear, and that you can get along with a bunch of individuals that are struggling from all walks of life, and have shown ways to. Recover and get solutions. Your solutions are different than my solutions. And I took something today, just like you took something today. And just like 160 people that are coming to Calgary on November 18th at the Silver Springs Golf and Country Club, we're going to learn from them, and they're going to learn from me. They're going to learn from you. And if you turn the word me upside down, it's we. You take the me, you turn it upside down, it's we. And that's we. That's the connection. That's how you get the connection. If it's me, it's disconnection. So, we're going to have a phenomenal kickoff to Alberta's Battle Through Recovery, at the Silver Springs Golf and Country Club. And,
I think for those that, aren't quite ready to recover, I've been working on this in my mind for a while, pondering this, trying to parse it out. But, I saw a presentation, like some TikTok thing or whatever that was put together, was really true about, what's called a wounded healer, which you and I both are. You know, both have gone through our own shit, and now we're on the other side of it trying to help other people. And if somebody is at the very, very beginning or hasn't taken the first steps for a recovery journey, that's what to shoot for, to become a wounded healer. Mm. Because that's where embrace the suck comes in. Embrace your story, you know, instead of being a victim of your story, being the champion of your story, saying, look at all the shit I've been through. My God, I've been through so much stuff, but I'm still here. I'm still standing. And for people to see themselves that way, it's like, you're still here. You're still alive. You are such a warrior. Look at all the shit you've been through. And I know you feel like a victim right now, but you're a champion. You're still here.
Impact.
And the power that you can have, the fact that you're still breathing after all the shit that you've been through, and you're still breathing, means you have the incredible, powerful ability to help others by doing nothing more than sharing your story. And anybody can do it. Get a Facebook account or a Twitter account or whatever, and do lives and tell your story. And that's the power of a wounded healer.
Yeah, it's power. Just like I met this guy before we did the Kenora event, 3 days before the Kenora event in September. And, you know, he was not in really good shape. And I said, just show up to the event. Just show up to the event. Doesn't matter what you're doing or how you're doing it. Just show up. I'm paying your way. Come on in. Anyways, his first day in recovery was the event. Last week, he booked a ticket to go to the Edmonton event, and he's still in recovery and still talks to me every single day. So September 15th was his recovery day, the first ever recovery day in Kenora, Ontario. And he showed up. He dressed up. He showed up, and he took part. And he took the next big step, which was like, I want to come to the next event. I can't come to Calgary, but I'll come to Edmonton. Booked his flight, booked his hotel. That's the power of we, right? It's like, There's no judgment from me of who you are or what you're doing, because I can't. What I can do is give you love, kindness, and compassion. And what I can do is really try and help you fill your heart up. That's what I can do.
There's an annual motorcycle ride called the Rolling Barrage, and it's an incredibly healing deal. It's put on by veterans. It was founded by a buddy of mine, Scott Casey, and it's a coast-to-coast relay ride. Some people do the full pull, so they do coast-to-coast the whole ride. Most, which I've never done the full pull, but I've done half of it. I've gone like Winnipeg to Calgary and Calgary to the coast. And but it's the sense of community, the sense of, okay, this is a ride to try to raise funds for PTSD for recovery resources. And everybody on the ride is either a supporter or they're going through their own shit and trying to recover, or have recovered, you know. But either way, this ride with a police escort from coast to coast, which is so cool, when they block, they got the lights and the sirens going and they block off the lights, and it's like you feel like you're a super duper VIP, you know, because that's what it is. And all the traffic is being stopped while this great big line of motorcycles goes through, and all the environmentalists, their heads explode, especially people in Teslas. It's like, all those motorcycles, that's so irresponsible. And traffic parts for us, like the Red Sea, as we went through lower mainland of Vancouver Island, it was like, it's just awesome. But all of those obnoxious motorcycles, which I love so much, as a great big shining example of, it's okay to not be okay, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're not hiding this under a rock anymore. Mental health is a deal, you know, and every five, like Theo says, it's not one out of five people that struggle. It's five out of five.
It's five. I've never met one in five.
Yeah, no. Everybody struggles some of the time. It's just a matter of frequency and degree. But everybody struggles from time to time. Everybody goes through shit. But those that have gone through where their trauma cup is full and there's overthrow, that's the injury. When your cup can no longer, it's just too much and your cup can't hold anymore. Right. So the trick is either draining the cup or build a bigger cup, you know, or both. And that's recovery.
Yeah. It's a really interesting time to be in right now. And to be able to be, a little form of some kind of beacon of light and, a little form of, connection for individuals from all walks of life as we travel across Canada to do this thing and beyond. It's just really amazing to connect, and also the people that have supported the non-for-profit and helped us, because really it's people building it for the people. We haven't been government funded. So the people that have got involved are normal people like me and you that have made contributions to the platform or have become one of the packages that we have through the Empower 2000 or the silver, the gold, the platinum. Obviously always looking for corporate partners to help us go all across Canada, because it's a huge initiative. But you know, people really,
and just by attending, you know, buy a ticket, attend one of the functions. So if somebody wants to support you either by a donation to keep the ball rolling or to buy a ticket to one of your events, how does somebody keep in the loop about all the events that are coming up? Where do they go?
So one place you can go is www.empower2recover.com. That's our website, so you'll see everything there. Another place is we're wildly on social media. So it doesn't matter what platform, we're on X, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Clapper, we're on every platform you can possibly think that you could connect with us. And then it's from there. We have the vendor booth packages where you get a vendor booth, tickets, catered lunch on us for a price. We have three of those left in Calgary. If you're looking for the tickets, they are live on Eventbrite, which you can also click through our website. So there is, I just saw a couple tickets come through while I was sitting here. So there's probably about 58 or 57 tickets left for the Calgary event now. So you get those right through Eventbrite, which the Silver Springs Golf and Country Club is putting on a beautiful plated late lunch. So from 3 to 4 p.m., we get a nice plated lunch. So that's in the ticket. And then if you want to make a contribution, I don't like the word donations because it sounds too drug dealerish for me. I like the word contribution. I like the word, you know, because I was a drug dealer, so I don't like donate. And donor. I didn't really understand the word donor. It's like, hey, can I give you your heart or something? No, you're going to get that later on.
I got a spare kidney.
Yeah. So I like the word contribution because if you're contributing something, that means you're part of a family. And I look at it as community, right? So the back end of community is unity. So the last word is unity in the community. So if I can bring unity into the community, that's going to be contribution, makes me part of a family, then I'm going to bring impact. And when we bring impact together, that's when things start to happen. That's when people start getting help. That's when people start getting heard. That's when people don't feel alone anymore.
For everybody tuning in, if you could help support Jay and the show by simply clicking the share button, share like the sugar bear, because sharing is caring, and or go to empowertorecover.com. Thank you, Kate Lithgow, for making the connection with us and putting this together today. It's been a fantastic conversation. And that website, again, is empower2recover.com. And Kate has put that in the comments. But, Jay, what you're doing is saving lives, period, the end.
Yeah, I appreciate Kate hooking us up. And Kate's been doing some great work for us in Calgary as well. So she's really a real trooper and a real... That girl's got some resilience, and she should get a shout out for who she is and the amazing work that she's done and is doing. Just, you know, being able to connect with beautiful people like you, and I'll show up in Calgary on the 14th, and we will be loud and we will be proud, and they will be able to hear us from the Silver Springs Golf and Country Club, and we'll blow the roof off on that thing.
Well, you'll have to remember to send me some deets, and whenever I see it, tag me in the post for promoting the event, and I'll share the heck out of it. And I'll also connect you with my sponsors, see if they want to get involved.
Absolutely, and let's me and you connect, because I do have a spot for you for 20. Theo said, Jay, you got to bring him, so I got to bring you.
All righty. What's the date on it again?
It's November 18th the Silver Springs. It's from 11 to 6 p.m.
It's going to be a busy month. I got a gig at River Creek Casino on the 14th, another one on the 16th, and now one on the 18th. So, okay.
That's what life's all about, is just like you said, share like the...
Share like bear. The sugar bear, because sharing is caring.
It's just like, you know, recovery is the new superpower. Yeah. And that's kind of how I look at it, is we all have our own superpower, and now we get to bring it to the events, not just in one area, but all across Canada. So if you are watching and you want us to bring the event to your hometown, city, community, you can also reach out to empower2recover@gmail.com. That is the email address, empower2recover@gmail.com. And we can look at bringing an event to your city, town, or community as well.
All right, Jay, please stay on the line. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. You're listening to Operation Tango Romeo, the Trauma Recovery Podcast, for veterans, first responders, and their families. Hey, everybody. It's Operation Tango Romeo, the place where healing happens. If you'd like to support this show, remember, like, comment, subscribe, and share like the sugar bear, because sharing is caring.